So this week, continuing our in-depth study of 7th Canto, Chapter 5, text number 23-24. We've done Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam. We're going to have a look at Sakyam and possibly Vedanam. So we looked at last time, we're looking at Dasyam, and we're also understanding the that Dasyam is one of the aspects of sadhana bhakti, although it has two features. One is performed by very elevated devotees, such as Srila Prabhupada, Hanuman. Another is performed generally by devotees, properly performed by a very mature devotee. It is a symptom. Dasyam is performed properly on the platform of liberation. One is actually liberated. The service attitude of a devotee is a very important function in taking one from the material platform to the spiritual platform, and also to the platform of understanding the variegatedness of spiritual life and thus ultimately tasting rasa. So we have looked at those features in general. So so we have Dasyam and Sakyam, two of the ninefold processes of Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service. Can be performed by those practicing sadhana bhakti, and in the mature stage performed by those on the platform of raga bhakti, following in the footsteps of the Brajabasis. And we don't we're keeping in mind not to confuse Dasyam and Sakyam with Dasyarati and Sakyarati, which are two of the five different types of attachments to the Lord, wherein one tastes rasa, dasya rasa, sakya rasa. So we don't confuse the two, dasyam and sakyam. We don't confuse them with dasyarati and sakyarati. Although they're certainly taking us in that direction, they're important levels to come to in order to head to that direction of rati. And we looked at ruchi, the awakening of a very strong taste for serving the Lord through one of the nine processes of Shuddha Bhakti. And according to one's ruchi or taste, one may be more attracted to kirtan, another to smaran, another to vandanam. And similarly, one is performing those particular services. One is also has an internal taste, you know, of cultivating a particular attachment to the Lord, such as sakya rati, you know, dasyarati, Madhurya Rati, like that. So there's an awakening of a taste, both for the processes, the devotional service, and for the gradually for one's particular attachment to the Lord. And that you know, the particular ruchi or strong taste in Krishna consciousness for a in a particular way, when it is of the raga bhakti type of ruchi, more so than the vaidhi bhakti type of ruchi. Vaidhi bhakti meaning attachment to the Lord in Vaikuntha, raga bhakti more attachment to the Lord in Vrindavan, then that type of ruchi or strong taste is also known as lobha, or, you know, greed, intense greed. So there's a greater intensity of the ruchi, which is known as lobha or greed in the raga. And we, you know, finished up with a, you know, a comment by from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati the core, and he says in his you know, that those whose hearts are fully transcendental develop the taste to subordinate themselves under the residence of Braja. Therefore, greed or ruchi for Raganuga Bhakti is the only indication of one's constitutional position. So, you know, it's an interesting, you know, he's saying this is the only indication of one's constitutional position. So one's constitutional position, we may know in general terms that when there's a strong greed and taste for performing the nine processes of devotional service with a focus, focusing our taste on developing the Brajabasi type of attachment to the Lord, then that can be an indication of one's constitutional position. Those who don't have that, they have a taste for serving the Lord in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, you know, mood, with awe and reverence, even up to Lord Ram. That's an indication. Can be an indication. Because we shouldn't take these indications too early, but at certain stages of a mature devotional service, these indications can be revealing. And but the ruchi of the for those who are aspiring for the Brajabasi constitutional position of service, it is a more intense variety of ruchi. All right, so that's where we left off. That's a summary of where we left off. And now we'll look at Sakyam. So, in the... again, we see that in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati the Kaur Sri Gaudiya Kantaha, he gives a definition of Sakya. And again, he quotes Sri Hari Bhakti Kalpalatika. So, you know, this is a very important book for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati the core to helping us understand crucial aspects of devotional service. So, you know, he's taking, you know, quotes from there as, you know, an essential verse which really helps us to understand Sakya. And the translation of that verse, 11.1, from Sri Hari Bhakti Kalpalatika is: the great ecstatic friendship for Lord Vasudev, which is filled with the ocean of joy and is awakened in the hearts of the most faithful devotees, is called Satyam. So it's an ecstatic friendship for Lord Vasudeva. It's filled with an ocean of joy, and it's awakened in the hearts of the most faithful devotees. It's called Sakyam. Now, in Jivadharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he takes a lot of these different quotes and then just paraphrases them in his own words in a way that sums up a lot of quotes in one sort of paragraph or a couple of sentences. He says, Sakyam, making friendships with the Lord, is the eighth limb of bhakti. As a friend of the Lord, the devotee is always attentive to take care of the Lord's needs. Sakyam is divided into two categories. Vaidangya Sakyam, friendship regulated by discipline and reverence, and Raghunuga Sakyam, spontaneous, friendly affection and regard. Here, Sakyam refers only to Vaidanga Sakyam, comprising the attachment and friendship of developed devotees towards the Lord whilst worshipping the deity. So here, within the nine processes of devotional service, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out that we see it, don't confuse it with Sakyarati and Rasa. Take a few steps back and understand that it is one of the processes of sadhana bhakti, one of the processes of pure devotional service. Okay. Now, again, if we take the next verse that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gives to help us understand Sakyam in his Sri Gauri Kantaha. He's taking this from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Two divisions of Sakya, based on faith and based on friendly affection. And that's the heading. Two divisions of faith and based on friendly affection. And this is the quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The wise have determined that Sakya friendship has two divisions. Sakyam, that is generic sense of friendship based on faith that God is my friend in sadhana vaidhi bhakti. And a highly refined and developed Sakyam based on the temperament of friendly feelings, as in the case of the cowherd boys in Vrindavan. So let's look at the nectar devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta has taken this quote from, which is Bhakti Rasamrita 1.2.188. We see it in the Nectar Devotion, chapter 6. It's item 48 out of the 64 items, or sometimes I think they consider also out of 32 items, it's item 28. But out of the 64 items, it's item 48, which is one should think of the Lord as one's friend. So you know, whereas quoting that one should think of the Lord as one's friends, you know, then those who take that up, you know, as we said, the 64 items of sadhana bhakti, as mentioned, nectar devotion is summarized in 9 main categories, of which sakyam is one. And this is where this comes from. So, Jiva Goswami's commentary to this verse of Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, he says the first type is the opinion of others and the second is the opinion of the author. So, what he's saying is, in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, it says there are two types of sakyam. One is trust and the other is being friendly. The first type is the opinion of others and the second is the opinion of the author. Mitra here means friendship in general rather than the sakya stai bhava that appears only in bhava and prema. Such a tendency is described in the Bhagavatam. So, Jiva Goswami quotes Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.32. And this verse helps us to understand this friendship in general. Mitra. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd man, and all the other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune, because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. Mitra, you see? So, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, who's in Vatsalya Ras, Yashoda, the gopis who are in Madhurya Ras, he's saying how fortunate all of them that Krishna has become their friend. So, it's general. So, Krishna becomes everyone's friend. You know, his friend of all living in his head. So it's not pointing out that, you know, someone has sakya rasa, sakya rati, like that. It's general. Very well. Krishna, very friendly to everyone. And one should think of him like that. You know, we should think of Krishna like that. He's very friendly to everyone. And when we execute our devotional service in the mood of the Brajabhasis, he becomes very friendly to us. And thinking like that is you know, an aspect of you know, sakyam. And so, you know, if we go back to Jivadam, where he says, sakyam, making friends with the Lord, is the eighth limb of bhakti. As a friend of the Lord, a devotee is always attentive to take care of the Lord's needs. So, and he says here, sakyam refers only to padanga sakyam, comprising the attachment and friendship a devotee develops towards the Lord while worshipping the deities. So, We're seeing the Lord is very friendly to us, and then the devotee, while performing their sadhana bhakti or their pure devotional service, they take care of the needs of the Lord, thinking of him as their great friend. So they reciprocate in a very friendly way, as one would look after their friend, knowing that their friend is looking after them. So it's general like that, that all devotees can do that. Not that they're thinking, oh, in the spiritual world, I am, one of the cowherd boys or, like that, not like that. But just in a very general way, one can do that. And, many times in Prabhupada's lectures, because there are different verses, even in the Bhagavad Gita, 529, the Supreme Lord, the peace form, that one should understand the Supreme Lord to be the supreme controller, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend of all living entities. And, many times, because it's such a crucial verse of the Bhagavad Gita, many times Prabhupada say that, we have to develop a friendly attitude to the Lord. Okay? So it's general.
To think Lord Krishna is our friend, do we really have to forget the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
No.
Because right now we think, oh, he's so great, he's so magical, he's so supremely powerful. What can a little bit insignificant ant like me can do anything to him?
No. We don't forget that. That's the point made here. In Sakyarati of the Brajabasi mood, one may forget that Krishna is Supreme Person of Godhead. But while practicing Sakyam as one of the limbs of pure devotional service, we are fully aware that Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. That's a significant difference. And we understand that. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came across a Brahmana who was instructed by his spiritual master to read the Bhagavad Gita every day. And although he was illiterate. And that Brahmana was always, that person was always in ecstasy and crying when he was reading. And people used to tease him, but when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he saw he was actually in ecstasy and he was inquiring, how is it you're experiencing such transcendental ecstasy by reading the Gita? What verses are you reading? Oh, I cannot read anything, because I'm illiterate, but my spiritual master has asked me. So then, how is it, you are feeling such ecstatic ecstasy? And he said that because whenever I think of the picture, Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he is so friendly to Arjuna that he is acting as his servant. See? And therefore, I am just crying in ecstasy. How merciful the Lord is, that he is the Personality of God, but he is so friendly. So he's very friendly. That's very friendly behaviour, isn't it? When someone's not being friendly. if you see that picture, you've got to think, a lot of people think of God as, this carpet must be my toes. Sometimes I've been walking around a lot. I get a little nerve damage on my feet, feeling it all tingling under my toes because of the carpet. But sometimes, actually in this world, a lot of people have great trouble thinking of God as anything but some interfering, supreme person who's smiting down everyone for their you know, in a very unfriendly, hard-hearted way, sometimes vindictive, mischievous, you know, doing things that don't often appear to make sense. They don't think it's friendly at all, you know. There's so many wars, there's so many, you know, there's so much suffering. So, you know, people generally don't think of God as in terms of being very friendly, you know. But if you see a picture of Krishna on the chariot with Arjuna, and you say, oh, that the one that's driving the chariot, that's God. Oh, he's very friendly then. He's driving his chariot. He's God, he's the Supreme Lord. See, he's very friendly. So, it's an essential teaching. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you have understood the essence of the Gita. So this Sakyam is, you know, very important to understand. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can say you've understood how friendly Krishna is. And for those who fully enter into, you know, that who appreciate the friendship of the Lord, they can understand that you can even associate with the Brajabasis in the most confidential, intense, you know, friendships like that. So it is there, you know, in general, Krishna is just very friendly to all living entities. So, we don't forget. In fact, specifically, this one is part of understanding that he is God. He doesn't have to be friendly. He's God. He can do what he wants. He can smite you down within a second. But he doesn't have to be, but he is.
We also understand that friendship is between equals. Like Prabhupada said to Dronacharya, that you are a Brahmana, I am a king. How can we be friends? It cannot be. So we are not equal to Krishna. We are so much insignificant compared to Krishna.
Yeah. That's right. So, you know, for instance, when an adult acts in a friendly way to little children, what they do is, you know, they kneel down or, you know, crouch down to the same height, and they come up close and they take an interest in what the child has taken interest in. See? So then, you know, you come down to that equal level, and then the child's not looking at you, some big giant. They're looking at you. You're right there with them. You know, same size, and then the friendship is there. And you know, the adult, they can have a nice friendship with the child. It's not that because the child is in an inferior position that there can't be a friendship. The adult experiences the friendship and the child experiences the friendship. So Krishna experiences the friendship and we experience the friendship.
But a child is always thinking of parents as parents.
No, not necessarily. You know, sometimes the child is thinking of the parents. They forget, you know, they know that they're the parents, but they know that the parents is... you know, they know the parent is very busy and very important, but sometimes the parent puts all that aside and just plays with the child, with what the child likes to play with. And they know the parent is just being very friendly. Where do we get that behaviour? We act in that way because Krishna has that quality. Therefore, we're able to manifest that quality in some minute way as well. So,
Arjuna saw Krishna as a friend, but Yudhishthira Maharaj did not think Krishna as a friend, and Bhima did not think Krishna as a friend.
Didn't?
Only because Arjuna and Krishna were of the same age.
Yeah, no, they accepted Krishna, you know, it was very friendly to them.
Krishna always used to touch the feet of Maharaj Yudhishthira as an elderly person.
Yeah, and Yudhishthira used to think that was very friendly behaviour, that, you know, Krishna was, you know, paid so much attention to them. in different ways.
So friendship is not necessarily among equals. It can be among superiors as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's friendly behavior, you know. Friendly behavior just means that, as described by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that there's a reciprocation. You know, you get happiness from looking after that person's interests and happiness, and that person equally gets happiness looking after your interests. It's a friendship. The equality is in the reciprocation, not the social position. The equality is in that they're equally looking after each other's interests. That's where the equality is. You know, it's an equality of that, you know, to my full capacity, I take pleasure in looking after your interests. Yeah? And that's mutual. The equality is not to do with the social position. And you know, one, and with that friendship, you know, one is not only looking after a person's interest, but, you know, one understands some of the confidential interests of that person as well. There's a little bit more intimacy that others may not be aware of or privy to. So now, this is what Srila Prabhupada says in the purport to 7.5.23.24, Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Sakyam, in regard to worshipping the Lord as a friend, the Agastya Samhita states that a devotee engaged in performing devotional service by Shravanam and Kirtanam sometimes wants to see the Lord personally, and for this purpose he resides in the temple. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? You know, so he's performing the Shravana Kirtan, but sometimes he wants to see the Lord personally. So there's you know, to look after his interests personally. So there's another hint of, you know, the Sakyam. Elsewhere there is this statement, O my Lord, Supreme Personality and Eternal Friend, although you are full of bliss and knowledge, you have become the friend of the residents of Vrindavan. How fortunate are these devotees. In this statement, the word friend is specifically used to indicate intense love. Friendship, therefore, is better than servitude. In the stage above Dasya Rasa, the devotee accepts the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a friend. This is not at all astonishing, for when a devotee is pure in heart, the opulence of his worship of the deity diminishes as spontaneous love for the personality of Godhead is manifested. In this regard, Sridhar Swami mentions Sridham Vipra, who expressed to himself his feelings of obligation, thinking, life after life, may I be connected with Krishna in this friendly attitude. So, here we see that within Prabhupada's purport, he's mentioned the two types of friendship. we get an example of those performing Shravanam Kirtanam, they like to see the Lord personally in his temple and may like to reside in the temple because there's a friendly attitude. He wants to take personal care of the Lord, and his affairs. And then there's this second quote describing some of the, where Prabhupada's describing Sakya Rasa. And he's describing that this friendship, he says, in the stage above Dasya Rasa, the devotee accepts the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a friend. And he explains this, that when a devotee is pure in heart, the opulence of his worship of the deity diminishes as spontaneous love for the personality of Godhead is manifested, such as Sridhar. So, Sakyam can be performed in relationship to Vaidhi Bhakti. As Prabhupada mentions, as one advances, it can also come to this platform of Sakya Rasa, where one does, you know, the opulence of the worship of the Lord it diminishes, and just the spontaneous love is manifested. So that's what you're saying there. Now, before we quoted in Jiva Goswami's purport to that verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we quoted that verse 10.14.32. Now, that verse is also cited by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta, Sakyam, based on intimate feelings of friendship. And it's cited in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the purport to that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is as follows. Sakyarati is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.30 as follows. According to the opinion of advanced devotees and learned scholars, a devotee in Sakyarati feels equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a relationship in friendship. Due to having a friendly relationship with the Lord, not only is one free from material attachment, but one believes in equal dealings with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Sakyarati. The Sakyarati devotee is so advanced that he treats the Lord on an equal level and even exchanges joking words with him. Although one is never equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Sakyarati devotee feels equal to the Lord and he does not feel guilty because of this. Usually it is offensive to consider oneself equal to the Lord. The Mayavadis, for example, consider themselves equal to the Lord, but such feelings entail bereavement because they are material. Sakyarati, however, is a feeling experienced in the mind by a pure devotee, and he is eternally related with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that feeling. In the next verse, in the purport, a little bit more, Sakya Bhakti Ras is described as follows in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.3.1. According to one's original consciousness, ecstatic emotions may be exhibited as continuously existing in fraternity. When this stage of Krishna consciousness is mature, it is called Praya Rasa or Sakya Bhakti Rasa. So there we see that, you know, this you know, Sakyam has two aspects, and one is very, very elevated, one is general. Now, it's interesting, that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam was quoted to show us how the Lord's friendship can be general by quoting how he is friendly to all the Brajabasis. So it's general, because it's not saying that they're all in Sakyarati or Sakyaras, because some are in different rasas, but Krishna's friendly to all of them, and they're all accepting that friendship and relating. And here, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when the same verse is quoted, Srila Prabhupada does, you know, go to lengths to describe that the nature of Sakyaras itself, or Sakyarati, in a specific way, you know, the specific rasa, quoting the same verse, you know, from Srimad Bhagavatam, how the Lord is friendly. There, Prabhupada, so in other words, Prabhupada is revealing that, yes, we can accept that Krishna is friendly to all living entities, and especially friendly to the Brajabasis, even though they have different rasas and different relationships with the Lord. But by pointing out in this verse, Prabhupada is saying, but don't think it's just general. You can have a specific equal friendship with the Lord as well. And that is called Sakya Rasa. So the same verse being quoted, but Prabhupada is pointing out, yes, you know, there is that general friendship of the Lord for all the Brajabasis, but don't think it's only just general. You can, when you have that eternal mood specifically of fraternity, and you are on an equal terms with the Lord, is what you're saying, not just in terms of the relationship, but you know, the social stature. Krishna is your friend, you're his in the spiritual world, there's no higher or lower. Then, you know, that is also there. So Prabhupada is just pointing out, don't just take it in the general way, there is that very eternal relationship as well. Yeah. Now, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, in chapter 1, Prabhupada takes up this same conversation. And this is a very interesting, you know, how in this paragraph, sort of Prabhupada takes all that we've been talking about, you know, from Dasyam to Sakyam, and on the platform of Sadhana Bhakti or Sudha Bhakti, and referring also to Sakyaras, he sort of combines it all in one paragraph. So it's very interesting. He says, and these are, you know, chapter 1, the teachings of Rupa Goswami from teaching the Lord Chaitanya. He says, in the second stage, which is called Dasyarati, a person appreciates his position as being everlastingly subordinate to the Supreme Lord, and he understands that he is eternally dependent on the causeless mercy of the Supreme Person. So he's saying Dasyarati. There's a mood of being subordinate, not equal, and therefore always dependent upon the causeless mercy of the Supreme Person. At the same time, there is an awakening of natural affection, such as is felt by a son who grows up and begins to appreciate his father's benedictions. At this stage, the living entity wants to serve the Supreme Lord instead of serving Maya illusion. So, that's an interesting statement there, where, you know, the way Prabhupada is talking about Dasharati. So, and as we've said, we have to be careful not to confuse Dasharati with Dasham. At the same time, you know, with the last sentence he makes, you know, he speaks of it as a transitional stage from material life to spiritual life, as we've heard before. What's that? In yes, that's right. Yeah. So, and his last sentence is: at this stage, the living entity wants to serve the Supreme Lord instead of serving Maya illusion. So, as we've heard, there actually is, you know, quite a significant step between, you know, learning to get out of the grip of the material energy and serving the material energy, gradually taking up dasyam, you know, where we perform services to the Lord in Vaidhi Bhakti, you know, gradually even in Raghunuga Bhakti, and then gradually we may come to Dasyarati. So it's quite a step. Prabhupada, you know, still wants to help us to make the connection. There is a connection, you know, that from the material world, this service attitude and affection, you know, it's, you know, which takes you to Dasharati. You know, it's being cultivated. You know, the Dasharati is being cultivated by Dasham. By the processes of devotional service. So, you know, those are big steps. Still, there's a very strong connection. So then he says in the third stage, talking about, you know, Rati, so we've got Santa, Dasya, Sakya. In the third stage called Sakya Rati, transcendental love is developed and one associates with the Supreme on an equal level of love and respect. As this stage is further developed, there is joking and such relaxed exchanges as laughing and so on. On this level, there are fraternal exchanges with the Supreme Person and one is free from all bondage. At this stage, one practically forgets his inferior position as a living entity, but at the same time, he has the greatest respect for the Supreme Person. So again, you know, as we've heard, you know, one of the factors of the, you know, Sakyarati, especially in the Braja, you know, Rasa, is that one does not relate to Krishna as a Supreme Person, but as his equal friend. In Sakyam, one of the processes of nine devotional services, one does relate to the Lord as a Supreme Person who's being very friendly to us, and we're developing a very friendly attitude to him, such that there's a little bit of a sometimes a friendly, you know, joking attitude. I'll give you an example. You know, when I used to travel with Ramai Swami in the early days, when I first became a devotee, the first few months, We travelled on the Hare Krishna bus, and we travelled from Melbourne, and you know, we went across to Nullarbor, you know, South Australia, Nullarbor, and West Australia. Whenever there was a good beach, we'd stop and we'd go body surfing. And Ramai Swami is a very good body surfer, and we used to, you know, some of those beaches, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. And there's just us and the bus, there's no tourists, there's no one. And there's just these big sets of waves, you know, coming in. And we'd spend hours and hours and just, you know, body surfing. And when you body surf, what you do, of course, is, you know, when you're really doing it well, if you sort of, you know, sometimes you see them body surfing, they're in all the foam and, you know, you can't see anything like that. When you properly body surf, what you've got your hands sort of by your side, you know, pointing towards your feet. Your head is out of the water for the whole time and up, and you're, you know, from about the shoulders to your head, you're out of the water, and you're just being propelled along by a very powerful wave. Big wave, you get a big drop, and then you go, you know, quite a long way, even right the way, and the whole time you just, your head is out of the water like that. So that's when you really catch a good wave and you're doing it properly.
You have a board also, right? You're sleeping on
No, no board. Just body surfing.
No board.
But you have to have a strong wave, big wave, big, strong, that just carries a lot of force. But you catch them at the right time, you sort of drop from the top, and they just carry you, at a certain point. You just stay level, literally a certain point. Because the wave keeps picking up and you're just at that level. So, and it takes, you can go, you know, 100 yards, you know. So you're literally looking, you know, you'd be looking, you know, Haribol, you know, he wasn't Ramai Swami then, he was Brahmacharya, but you'd be looking at, you know, Ramai, and you'd be looking at, you know, you turn, you know, we're all catching the same wave, and you sort of, so you sort of laugh and having fun. Anyway, we used to do that a lot. So one night I had this a dream that I was body surfing with, you know, Ramai Swami and all the devotees, the bus crew. And when I looked beside me, Krishna, Radha Ballabha, from the deity, the altar here, who I didn't know, I hadn't known for a long time, on this life, playing his flute, head out of the water, just completely still like a deity and body surfing. And I'm looking and think, oh, there's Krishna, he's body surfing as well, like that. So we caught this wave, we get all the way into the beach. And when we got into the beach, you know, Ramai Swami said, oh, we better pack up and we head back to the bus. So all the devotees started walking. I started walking. When I looked behind, I saw that the deity was just standing on the beach, and I thought, oh, he can't walk, he's a deity. So, you know, not thinking, well, you know, how is he, you know. So then I went to pick him up, and I picked him up, and when I picked him up, he became so heavy that I dropped down to my knees, and then I'm walking on my knees and thinking, I've got to get him back to the bus. And then he became so heavy, I literally fell, you know, face first into the sand because I just couldn't carry him. And then I woke up and I started laughing and laughing and laughing, and I'm thinking, you know, he tricked me, you know. He was so light he can body surf, and I pick him up and he's so heavy I can't carry him, you know. So I was laughing and I was thinking, you know, Krishna, you know, you're playing jokes with me like that. But, you know, it was a, I actually felt, you know, like a very friendly sort of a, you know, a banter with Krishna. So I was laughing at him, you know, like, you know, some sort of rata, you cheated me, you know. Seeing you rascal, you know. You can't walk, but you can body surf, right? So I'm sort of thinking like that. So that's, you know, I'm thinking, you know, you're not supposed to laugh at the Lord or, you know, criticise him or, you know, think he's a cheat or whatever like that. But it's an example in a general way, just a very general way, how even on that platform of sadhana bhakti, you know, Sakyam, has a different mood. So, you know, I always appreciate he's the deity, he's the personality of Godhead. He's not like some rasa or anything. But in a general way, he's been very friendly with me and he made me laugh and I had a friendly sort of attitude towards him that, you know, yeah, you can be real cheeky, can't you? So, you know, it's just, you know... So, you know, this is a very interesting paragraph where Prabhupada, you know, we do keep in mind you've got Sakyarati, Sakyaras, don't confuse that with Sakyam. And at the same time when Prabhupada talks about it, we do have to understand that there is a link, that someone, you know, who may develop a strong, you know, taste for that Sakya, one of the nine processes of devotional service, you know, has a strong taste for that. Strong, you know, there's no reason why that can't, you know, develop into, you know, Sakya, Rati, following in the footsteps of the cowherd boys of Vrindavan, etc. but, you know, again, you know, see, the interesting thing in Prabhupada's statements here, in Dasyarasi, he has connected with it as this service attitude is taken one from the material platform to the spiritual platform. And then on the Sakya platform, he's saying, at this stage, one is completely free from all bondage. It's not he's just come from the material platform to the spiritual platform. There's a transcendental state, you know, so it's a very, you know, it's again a very liberated platform of sadhana bhakti. So, you know, if we said that someone has been taken from the platform of material life to the platform where they're appreciating service to the Lord, and that has taken them to the spiritual platform, then the way Prabhupada is presenting it, we may take that when they're more advanced, they develop a little bit of a friendly attitude. So although they're respecting Krishna as the supreme person, still there are some fraternal exchanges. And he says, at this stage, one practically forgets his inferior position as a living entity. Yeah, not completely, but... practically, because of the way Krishna is dealing with one. You know, another example, you know, that I have had where, you know, I told you the story about a devotee came up to me and said, we want to do an Abhishek. And I said, oh yeah, my wife and I, you know, we love to come to your home and, you know, do an Abhishek, you know, because they're putting the deities on a new altar for the first time. And he said, oh, you know, this is the date. And I said, oh, I can't do that date. Why don't we do the public holiday, which comes just after it? Oh, he says, that's all right, we'll just get someone else. And, you know, I was really, I'll never forget that, you know, just how offhand, it's like, you know, okay, right, we really have a good friendship, don't we? You know, and it's sort of dismissing my relationship with the Lord and my relationship with Him. It's like, yeah, we'll get someone else. So I was feeling really sad because I actually really like to do that service to the Lord. It's one of, you know, it's one of the favorite services I do. And just a couple of days later, I had a dream that I was going to, I was walking across the park, all the devotees were walking across this park, and I was going to the house where the devotees were going to do a program, and they were going to do an Abhishek for Gaur-Nitai. And as I got through the park, got about halfway through the park, on a pedestal there were the deities of Gaur-Nitai. And I was thinking, everyone's just walking past them, it's like, they're all going to the festival, but there's Gaur-Nitai there. Who's going to take them? And I thought, oh, well, I'll take them, you know, because no one seems to be taking them. So I picked them up and I had them, you know, one in each arm like that. And as I was walking, they actually both put their arms sort of around my shoulders, so, you know, they both had their arms around my neck like that, and they sort of lent their head in and they were sort of cuddling me, and they were just talking. I can't remember what they were saying, but it was like they were giggling and talking, and I just felt they were being very friendly. It was like, it was almost like, oh, we are going to the festival, Ganga's taken. You know, it's like they were just having a little joke amongst themselves. But when I woke up, I thought, oh, I am doing that Abhishek, and I'm doing it on that particular day. And then what happened was that the devotee called me and said, oh, none of the devotees can actually come on the day that I suggested. Can we do it on the public holiday? You're still available. You know, I knew I'd be doing it. I said, yeah, I happen to have that day free. And so I did do that. But again, it's just you get that nice mood where you're worshipping the deity as Vaidhi Bhakti, but, you know, Krishna let me know, yes, you'll be at that Abhishek, you'll be doing that. So, you know, it was like a little message on the pretext of a dream. So it's very friendly, you know, that we're not going to leave you out. The devotees may leave you out, but we're not going to leave you out. You know, it's very friendly like that.
What can we do so that Krishna Gaurmitha come in our dreams? What did you do? You body something? Do we have to go body something?
No. I'll tell you what I did. I became the most fallen person that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have ever seen. And somehow or another they become especially kind to one who has no qualifications. So I did one thing right. So, yes, it's a very, you know, interesting paragraph there. But now,
how often do you get the dreams?
Quite regularly.
Once a week, once a month.
Yeah. So
I get a dream that I got a parking ticket.
Yeah. You know, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada actually said in one lecture, he said, you know, if you practice thinking of Krishna through the day, you know, you're hearing and chanting and serving, he said, you'll think of Krishna in your dreams. So that's what he said. You know, to do that, that's how you do that. The more you think of Krishna during the day, then he said, then you also think of Krishna in your dreams. Because he was telling a story, Prabhupada was telling a story. He was talking about prasadam, Krishna prasadam. You know, this Krishna is so friendly, he gives us so much nice prasadam. That's friendly, isn't it? You know, that's really friendly. So Prabhupada was talking about how wonderful prasadam is. And he says, oh, you'll be surprised. Some nights when I dream, I'm just eating prasadam all night. And he laughed. He said, one night, I was just eating halva, Krishna prasadam. All night, I just kept eating. And he laughed. So, you know, so if you think of prasadam, you'll be eating prasadam in your dreams as well. Yeah. Have you done that? Have you ever done that? No, I
have. No, Prabhupada, regarding
deities,
you're true. If you think of that,
they'll
come in your dreams.
That's right, yeah, yeah. That's a fact. You see them, yeah.
Is it that your unfulfilled desires come into your dreams?
Well, if we have a strong desire for Krishna, then that helps. You know, to think of Krishna at all times, 24 hours a day. Yeah, strong desire. Now,
Okay, that's all right. Again, let's see. Now, let's again, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, what did he call? Again, still defining Sakya from. Oh, we've got that now. I've said those ones. But let's look a little further at the statements in Nectar Devotion on the two different types of Sakyam. So, in Nectar Devotion, chapter 11, it discusses devotional service and friendship. I'll read a little bit from Waves of Devotion, which helps us to understand Nectar Devotion a little easier. Ways of Devotion, chapter 11, describes devotional service and friendship. Sakyam, there are two types of friendship. Vishvas, a superior well-wisher, and Maitri, a friendly relationship with a peer. Right. Vishvas, a superior well-wisher, and the second one, Maitri, or as we said, Mitra, a friendship with a peer. Jayavadhamma clarifies this same section, saying the 48th limb, Sakya, devotional service and friendship, is of two moods, Visvasa, as a confidential servant, and Mitravritti, as a well-wishing friend. So a well-wishing friend is like a peer. And he says Visvasa as a confidential servant, or as described in Waves of Devotion, a superior well-wisher. So, Waves of Devotion says, Vishvas means to have strong faith or confidence in the Lord as our benefactor. So, and this is how Prabhupada describes this, right? Vishvas, having a strong faith or confidence in the Lord as our benefactor. From Nectar Devotion, chapter 11. Devotional service and friendship. Devotional service and friendship can be divided into two categories. The first is to act as a confidential servant of the Lord, and the other is to act as a well-wisher of the Lord. So you see here, when he says confidential servant of the Lord, means that we have a strong faith in the Lord as our benefactor or friend, and therefore we act as a confidential servant. The other is to act as a well-wisher of the Lord, and as we've seen, that is more on a peer level. The Prabhupada continues, the devotee who has confidence in devotional service to the Lord systematically follows the rules and regulations with the faith that he will achieve the platform of transcendental life. Now, waves of devotion explains a little bit more that Vishvas, Draupadi is a devotee who sees the Lord as a friend in the sense of Vishvas, her well-wisher and protector. You know, so Krishna is a friend, is a benefactor. In Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada adds a twist to this aspect of transcendental service. There's a lot of twists in Prabhupada's statements. He's got a little twist, a little Prabhupada twist. This is the twist. Ordinarily, the devotee sees the Lord as the well-wisher, but by preaching Krishna consciousness, the devotee becomes the well-wisher of the Lord. Since Vishvas refers to faith in the Lord, Srila Prabhupada Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, will discuss the topic of faith. He explains that it has two stages, Shraddha, preliminary faith, and Vishvas, mature faith. First, there is Shraddha, the simple faith necessary for beginning to engage in devotional service, which in time matures into Vishvas, strong faith. Srila Prabhupada describes this. So this is from Nectar Devotion. A neophyte devotee who has simply developed a slight love of Godhead is certainly a prospective candidate for devotional service. When he becomes firmly fixed in such devotional service, that assured status becomes a confidential part of his devotional service. Now, still discussing this verse, let's look at this, Prabhupada's twist in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 11. The second type of devotional friendship is to become, this is the twist. The second type of devotional friendship is to become a well-wisher of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord accepts a preacher as the most dear servant. Anyone who is preaching the confidential message of the Gita to the people in general is so dear to Krishna that no one can be equal to him in human society. So, Vishvas, one is a very confidential servant because they have so much faith in the Lord. And that confidential aspect of their service, due to their strong faith, known as Vishvas, very mature faith, allows this one to, really. If one has strong faith, as Krishna, as the benefactor, Krishna will protect us. Krishna is our friend. We're out preaching, it's a dangerous, risky thing, but Krishna will protect us. He will protect us from Maya. We will not fall down. We're out here in Maya, we will not. Krishna is our friend. He will give us some special protection because we're taking risk for him to preach. You're really calling on Krishna's friendship, like that. The faith is there, but you're putting that faith into application. Now, Krishna, you're my friend. You can protect me, and you like to protect your devotees. I'm taking this risk to preach Krishna consciousness, and I know that you will protect me. So you're really experiencing Krishna's friendship. It's a confidential. If one doesn't necessarily take that sort of risk. For instance, as a preacher, one takes a very safe stance with never leaving the temple like that. One may not have to, you know, really call on Krishna's friendship. You know, are you looking after me? I'm now, you know, walking up the stairs. You know, I want to get in early to get a few of the gulab jamuns and some of the milk sweets, you know, before, you know, the big crowd comes. You know, you may not be intensely praying as you know, walking up to the prasadam hall, you know? But, you know, when you're really put yourself in a risky position to preach, you know, you're really, you know, you need Krishna to show me. You said you're my friend. I need to you show me now, you know. Otherwise, I could be, you know, finished out here, you know. It can't be philosophy anymore. This is life in action. Krishna, you hear? You see, so therefore you experience tangibly Krishna's friendship at every step because of the position you're in. Like Prabhupada, you know, leaving. Prabhupada had a dream on the Jaladuta. He had the heart attack. And then he had the dream where Krishna was, he was on the boat, and Krishna was with all the avatars. And Krishna was saying, you know, come, it'll be all right. And all the avatars were rowing the boat. Like that. So, you know, that friendship, you know, yes. You know, I'm here. You know, so you've taken a risk, but I'm here. So, but, you know, if Prabhupada stays in Vrindavan, a quieter life, you know, would he experience, you know, the transcendental, Krishna protecting him, it's, you know, as intensely as he would preaching all over the world, you know, so, you know, we're acting as a confidential servant, but it helps us to experience the friendship of the Lord. So, in that way, we're acting in a friendly relationship. And as Prabhupada said, the interesting thing is, Prabhupada's twist is that devotee, by preaching, says, you know, ordinarily the devotee sees the Lord as the well-wisher, but by preaching Krishna consciousness, the devotee becomes the well-wisher of the Lord. So, that Vishvas matures into, you know, the almost the second category as peer, you know, that the preacher is looking after the interest of Krishna. That, we used to understand when we used to go out collecting, you know, like the other day they had the big, hall meeting in Williamstown and everyone was donating for Mayapur. So we used to go out day. I said to Ramaswamy when I saw him, I said, you know, we worked very hard for that Mayapur project in the early days. He said, yeah. We used to go out every day, and so much of the Lakshmi, the money that we collected, went to Mayapur to, you know, establish that. You know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, we collected. Very, very difficult, you know, taking a lot of risks. But, you know, I remember thinking, you know, it's very, very hard. A lot of devotees came and they tried to, because we desperately needed almost emergency situation, money to keep the temple. We didn't have a congregation and they didn't have money, you know, pouring in Mayapur. So we, you know, we had to go out and earn that money. You know, you had to go out and try and bring back $200, $300, $400, $500 every day, 5 days a week, without fail. You know, 6 days a week, and then marathons on top of that. And what would happen is, after 6 months, devotees who had come to Krishna consciousness would leave. It was just so hard, they'd leave. Some stayed, maybe, and if they stayed for a couple of years, instead of leaving, they'd go to management. But a little joke there, a little inside this concept. But, you know, we understood if we don't go out and earn that money, no one else is going to do it. It's not going to, money's, you know, a truck is not going to pull up outside the door and say, oh, we heard, you know, it's too hard for the Sankirtan devotees to collect money, so we just brought a truckload of money for you. It's not going to happen. You knew, we have to look after Krishna's interests like that. You see, that's, if I don't go out, Krishna won't have money. That was your mood, you know, for his temple in Mayapur over here. See, so that's what they're talking about there. You know. And similarly, you know, Prabhupada, if I don't go to the West, who will preach to them? His godbrothers weren't going. His spiritual master left the planet. The Mayavadis wouldn't do it. They're not going to preach to themselves. He's literally, I have to do it, otherwise it won't happen for Krishna. He's looking after the interest, you know, taken. So, like that. So, so he's the well, the preacher, that, you know, they like that. They're the well-wisher of the Lord. So then, you know, it actually, from the Vishvas, it can also become like the peer, or the, on an equal level, you know, reciprocal. Krishna's looking after me, I'm looking after him, very friendly relationship. So as you can see here, you know, there's some intermingling, you know, like, there's a little overlapping, naturally, because, you know, Sakya, as one of the items of devotional service, performed in a very mature way, and Sakyarati, there's a lot of similarity, a little overlapping, and gradually they can, you know, it can lead to Sakyarati, and traces of, you know, one's, you know, ultimate goal can be, you know, just like when you perform Vaidhi Bhakti, from the very beginning, you know, a devotee literally takes up the rules and regulations, but from the very beginning, there can be traces of Raghunuga Bhakti in a devotee, from the very beginning, little traces. And then it just becomes fully, you know, Raghunuga. So, you know, there's a little overlapping of these principles. But still, under Vishvas, you know, we had this quote from Prabhupada that the second type of devotional friendship is to become a well-wisher of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord accepts a preacher as the most dear servant. So he's a well-wisher, almost the, you know, the of the Lord. Anyone who is preaching the confidential message of the Gita to people in general is so dear to Krishna that no one could be equal to him in human society. So, although that's under the heading of Vishvas, you know, the you know. So we're not talking about Sakyarasa, and still, even on the platform of sadhana bhakti or pure devotional service, you can see that devotees can, to some degree, have, you know, like, not see the Lord as superior, but as their, you know, they're acting as benefactors of each other equally, like that, in one sense.
Sorry, Prabhu.
Yeah. Thank you. You want that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes, please. Yeah, you want your tape?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Just don't take my students. We're winding up now anyway, but yes.
But Prabhupada, soon.
Yeah, we're winding up now.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much,
Prabhupada. Yeah. But as you can see, even on the platform of Sudha Bhakti, Sadhana Bhakti, a preacher can have this friendly relationship, not just seeing the Lord as one's friend, but acting as the friend of the Lord reciprocally, that I'm your well-wisher. So it is, you know, a reciprocal, even, you know, friendship like that. It's not just one way. In the beginning, it may be, you know, that the Lord is, you know, my benefactor, my friend. But when properly developed in a mature way, even on that platform of sadhana bhakti, a devotee can experience that, you know, I'm being the friend of the Lord because no one's looking after his interests. I would do it. See? So that's all. Here's a verse from this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.6, cited under Sri Gaudiya Kanta, has, you know, generic Sakyam, right, based on faith. We'll discuss a little bit more, but it says, when the living entity is covered by the mode of ignorance, he does not understand the individual living being and the supreme living being, and his mind is subjugated to fruit of activity. Therefore, until one has love for Lord Vasudev, who is none other than myself, he is certainly not delivered from having to accept a material body again and again. So, let me see. We'll just have something to meditate on, just a last quote. On that platform of the friendship with the Lord, in Srimad Bhagavatam, we believe, 2.9.19, in the purport, you know where Krishna shook hands with Brahma? Prabhupada says in the purport there, anyone preaching the mission of the Lord in the line of the Brahma Sampradaya is always dear to the Lord, and the Lord, being satisfied with such a preacher of the authorized bhakti cult, shakes hands with him in great satisfaction. There's a nice quote to finish on. See? Finish. All right, so we've got to be friendly to our devotees as well as Krishna. So we'll leave it there, and we will, you know, we should be back next week. There's no reason why not. Yeah, any reason why we shouldn't be back next week? No? Good. All right. We'll see you then.
Did we finish nine devotion process tomorrow?
We did Sakyam today. And I may summarize and just add a few quotes in the next lecture, and we'll talk and we'll move on to Atmanivedanam. Yeah. 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 But yeah. Who will be here next week if I come? Yeah. Okay. I'll be here. Yeah. I'll come. I'll just sit here myself. If you don't think I'm strange, I'll quite happy to sit here. You know, it's that's what I used to do on the farm. I used to just, you know, there's no one in the room. I'll be, you know, discussing this for a lot. That's why some of the places where I wrote a lot of this, even when I was on the farm. Just so yes. All right. We'll see you next week, and we'll continue from here. Right. But that's good. Yeah. Look, I'm taking a little extra time because, you know, there's a lot of people away, and you know, this is a very important topic. You can listen to it later if you don't get to listen straight away. But it's a foundation of understanding the 10th canto, you know, to understand the transition from sadhana bhakti into, you know, rasa and what have you, there's a lot in this that helps us. So it's really the a fundamental understanding for getting into the, you know, 10th canto and stuff. So it's really, if people don't study this properly, then it's too big a jump when you get to the 10th canto. Yeah. All right then.